Today is July 19th, or 18th, 1997, and we're talking to Geneva Pope, a former student of the Bel Air Colored High School. What years did you go there?
1944 to 1947 when I graduated.
You graduated there in 1947?
Yes.
How large was your graduating class?
There were about 10 of us in my graduating class.
Mm-hmm. And where was the school at that time?
Located on Hayes Street where the building sits now.
The Public Works Building?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the Little Green Building.
Did you always go to school there? Where did you have elementary school?
I went to elementary school in Baltimore City.
Okay.
A large Catholic elementary school, St. Peter Claver's, that still exists now. When my family moved to Edgewood, I attended Bel Air Colored High School. I was then in the ninth grade. St. Peter Claver's went to the eighth grade. At Bel Air Colored High, the eighth grade there had a subject, biology. So when I entered the ninth grade, I was not able to get to biology as one of the chemistry courses there.
Mm-hmm. So what other subjects then did you have then?
Well, we had math. Mr. Moore, he was an excellent math teacher. There was nothing that he did not know. Home economics, which I really enjoyed. We did home canning, chicken, fresh sausage meat, vegetables, fruit. I was never successful in canning because if someone's jar was going to break in a pressure cooker, it was always my jar. I would lose a jar every week during canning season. But still, I would keep canning and keep enjoying it and bringing what was left of my jars home to mother. We did sewing. I made my baby brother his first romper suits, which mother was very proud of my accomplishments in home ec. One project we had was to design a room. Mrs. Carrie Johnson, our home ec teacher, she was very thorough in whatever she taught. And I decided to design a living room. The legs of my furniture, I remember, there was thick macaroni pieces. And I painted those like a stain and used cardboard for my tables, decorated. They were my tables in my living room. I used ribbon for my drapes. I had a friend, Mrs. Miles in Edgewood. She had a hobby of making living room furniture. I had her to make me a miniature sofa and two chairs. The project turned out really fabulous. We were all really proud of the project until we had to store the projects. And we had to use paste. We didn't have any glue, so we mixed flour and water to make our paste. And what happened, the mice got in my unit and just completely destroyed. That was the end of my project, completely destroyed. They ate it to pieces. So that was the end of my living room project.
And so that was with home economics.
That was with home economics, yes.
How many rooms were in that school?
I think there were about four. There's a home economics room. I think there were about four rooms. A room that Mr. Moore had for math, social studies, and then we went to the adjoining building for English and music. The adjoining building was right down the hill, so to speak. We had music, that was Mrs. Kane's room, English, math, and science down there. Chemistry was our major science course there. One chemistry experiment I remember doing, we had to test hair shampoo and for alkalis. And Halo was the shampoo that least alkalis. They don't make Halo anymore. But I bought Halo for years after that. That was the only shampoo I would use because I knew, not depending on advertisements, I knew that Halo was the best shampoo on the market at the time.
Where you said the adjoining building was down the street. It's no longer in Bel Air?
No, it does not exist there.
Where was it? Was it?
Oh, it was about 100 yards from the existing building now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right on that same side.
Yes,
then.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there were
down.
two buildings then,
yes,
for the high school.
Yes.
Were there more than one class in a room, or did you go from room to room to your...
We went from room to room, but there was only one class held in each room.
Okay.
Other classes were held at the Farhouse up on Barn Street. The boys had shop up there. Ames Church held a couple classes there. Mm-hmm. New Hope Church held a couple classes there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some, yeah, I was going to say, weren't there some classes held at the Baptist Church there?
Yes, yes. The classes were held all around.
Well, those were all high school classes?
There were some elementary classes there.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never attended the elementary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from Edgewood, how did you get to school?
Now, that's quite a story. We would get to Bel Air the best way that we could when we first started out. The children from Magnolia would walk over to Edgewood and Trimble Roads. We would catch a workers' bus from Edgewood. They got off at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we would catch that bus. I would still remember the bus driver's name. I could see his face. His name was Russell. He ushered us to the back of the bus. That was my first experience in the segregated bus, because coming from Baltimore, we rode the trolleys and the whatever, and we did not experience that. So airfare was 25 cents. I don't know if it was 25 cents one way or 25 cents round trip, but we could not even afford that. So my daddy went to the NAACP. He was quite active in NAACP, and the PTAs in the Harper County, and he got the fare for us donate. I don't remember, it was all the fare, part of the fare, the 25 cents to pay our fare to go to Bel Air. We would go to Bel Air, and we would get off the bus across from the courthouse at Preston Stationery, which no longer exists there now. Then we would walk down off the street on down to our school. And that's where we picked the bus up in the evening. Then after a while, we did have bus transportation.
County bus, the school
bus?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There were other school buses coming from other areas to Bel Air High. But we did not have one from Edgewood. Mm-hmm. You understand that projects were only built in about 1942, 43.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't even on the map, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got from Edgewood to Bel Air at that time.
So you had to really rely on just that workers' bus?
Yes, yes, whatever way we could.
And that workers' bus was for what, for who?
For the employees from Edgewood Arsenal, taking them to Bel Air.
Oh, okay.
And we would sit and watch the white students get on their school bus going to Bel Air High School.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, the children from Magnolia, we didn't have as bad as they did, because when they would come from Magnolia, which is about 3 miles to Edgewood, they would have to catch a ride with someone who's working in Edgewood doing day's work or something, and catch a ride that way, or else walk from Magnolia to Trimble Road, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever time they could catch a ride from Magnolia, and that's how they got to school.
Well, how many of your brothers and sisters attended that, or did, when you were attending?
Teresa attended Bel Air High School, but she ended up one of the first classes going to Central Consolidated.
Okay.
My other brothers and sisters went to Magnolia Elementary. Eloise at the time was in high school, and she boarded at St. Francis Academy.
It's my alma mater, you know.
Yeah. So, Ann, my younger sister, she went to the academy also. She completed her education at St. Francis Academy. My sister Marie, she would ride the train to Baltimore, to Douglas High. So that's how we, Eloise, Marie, and myself, we were in high school. When I came out of eighth grade and arrived in Edgewood with my family, Mother asked me if I wanted to go back to Baltimore, to St. Francis Academy. And personally, I thought it would be just too expensive for Mother and Daddy because I always was already there. So I said, no, I would go to Bel Air. And I did and made myself quite contented. When I went to Bel Air, I was like a new kid on the block from the city. And one of the things that really surprised me was the language the kids use, the profanity, because I was not used to that. And it struck me with great awe when I heard it. But then I kind of got used to it and didn't pay any mind. Some of the teachers had a student they would pick and says, if you hear someone using profanity, they would be fined a nickel or 2 cents, whatever the amount was. And this person would be the collector and collect the money from the student, whoever was cursing or using profanity. It wasn't all that bad, but still it was strange to me to hear all that because I did not hear it at St. Peter's, naturally. And that's who of my family, that's where they went to school.
What was the building like? What was the school building itself like?
It was a wooden building. It's quite dilapidated now. As a matter of fact, the superintendent said the building was not fit for animals. He actually said that. The dairy cows had better facilities than we had at the school. We had to go outside to the restrooms. Our school books were hand-me-downs from the white schools. The children, we had to clean up the books before we could use them. And cleaning up the books, I mean, erasing racial slurs that were written in the books by the white students from Bel Air before we could use the books and enjoy them and study out of them.
How about the heating?
Well, the heating was just your pot-belly stoves. When the young boys would come to school in the mornings, and some of the bus drivers, I remember one bus driver in particular, Floyd Ruff, they would have to make the fires in the school to get the room heated before we could go out to get support the students who had to get started. That's how that was done. They had to make the fires in the room, just heat them like you would in your home. I imagine some of the fires were banked all night, but not participating in that, I don't recall, but I assume some of the fires, I remember how we did at home, we would bank the fires overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But the boys in the school, and you know, you're taking a couple of hours of their study time away to heat the school.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine how much they learned, but all of them prospered very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the immediate area around the school? Was it really built up, or was it right in the middle of town, or was
it was kind of in the middle of the black neighborhood, the Negro, we were called colored at one time, the Negro and all that.
Because Bond Street was the...
Yes, it was
but
the
that was Hayes.
That was Hayes Street, yes.
Yeah.
And it was like open season for the neighborhood people, congregating place. At lunchtime, at recess, the young folks would come off the streets to the school grounds and shoot balls or play dodgeball, whatever we did for recreation. So it was like an open, relaxed atmosphere around the school grounds. I really don't remember any fights or anything like that, but it was like an open atmosphere around the school. The young fellows who were
so
out
there
of
was
school.
Recreation then around the school.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Was there a ball field, or what did the yards look like?
Not a legal ball field. There was the girls. We played softball and volleyball. Mr. Moore was in charge of track. Dodgeball, not a lot of big athletic.
Did you participate
equipment.
In any of them?
I played a little softball and a little volleyball. I was not very athletic. No, I was not very athletic.
You're something like me. I don't like to get hit with the ball.
I kind of had bad ankles. I was not very athletic. I would get out and, you know, venture and try. Yeah.
What about some of the holidays that you observed?
One of the big days was May Day in May, wrapping the maypole. That was a big festive thing. We would, there would be a pole, and we would have like streamers coming around and sing a song, go entwine, mm-hmm. and that carried over to Central, mm-hmm. wrapping up the Maypole. That was very big there.
It was May Day, right?
First
of May?
Yeah, that was mm-hmm. May Day. And of course, there were always plays being performed. The students would have put on plays, and they would be performed at the church. And of course, you always had a large black attendance mm-hmm. of the neighborhood people attending mm-hmm. the plays and all. And that always went over very well. Mm-hmm. I think we have about two plays a year. I can't really recall. But going to Bel Air College was, one day I passed the school after I was quite grown. I had a couple of my kids with me. And I passed the school, and I literally kicked the building because I was mad, because I had been deprived. Not that it was the building's fault, but I just got out of some anger. I was deprived of so much education. We did not have a clerical class, and I was always interested in clerical work. Mr. Moore had a small portable typewriter, which he took upon himself to let me practice on, which I did pretty well on, enough to be like a sort of a school secretary for a while. And I was editor of my class paper, which we had to do typing, so I didn't do too bad on the typewriter. But we had no facilities for typing, and it was like a narrow hallway where his office was and the library with books on either side. And that's where I would practice my typing. He would even let me bring my typewriter home. That was the only access I had to a typewriter. No shorthand or filing lessons or nothing like that. Nothing. So that's why I kicked the building.
What was your graduation ceremony like? What year was it first?
1947.
We're coming up with a class reunion then, isn't it?
Well, we've had two. No, we had the one big one.
Okay, this is 47, this is what, 50 years?
We had the combined reunion for Bel Air College Central Consolidated mm-hmm. in 1991, then we had one in 1993, and we're preparing to have one in 1998. Bel Air College High School and Central Consolidated. This year we're adding in Friends. Mm-hmm. We already have reservations at East Wind for mm-hmm. 1998. Mm-hmm. We've sent out letters and all, so this is an ongoing thing.
But this is your 50th year of graduation.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is my 50th year of graduation. Yes, it is.
Okay. But what was the ceremony like?
We would have, naturally, we had to have the dignitaries from the Board of Education, and Percy Williams was the school superintendent, I think, at that time. Of course, Mr. Moore was the principal. I was fortunate enough to be valedictorian in my class, and I received a scholarship for $50. I understand that $50 was supposed to have gone to James Bransford, but he was promised monies from another association. And whether he ever got that other money, I do not know for a fact. But I was awarded the $50 for the scholarship. And I attended Cortez Peters. For my graduating class, we made yellow and blue dresses, a real pretty blue soft cotton material. We made them in homemaker room. They came out really nice. We made a beautiful showing. The graduating class was, because the seniors always think, you know, they're really hot stuff above the lower class people. But it was quite an experience. Mother and I shopped for my prom dress. We went all over Baltimore. We could not find a dress. We got off the bus and went to Braggers and Gutmans, or either Julius Gutmans, one of the two stores, Braggers or Julius and Gutmans.
There
were two Eisenberg, separate stores.
Yeah, it was Bragger Eisenberg, wasn't it Braggers Eisenberg?
Braggers, and then there was another store, Julius Gutmans. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, when we were walking down Howard Street, we saw this beautiful white and black dress. And I says, oh boy, that's the prettiest dress I've ever seen. So we went all over Lexington Street. Nothing else satisfied us. We went back and bought that dress. That was my prom dress.
Where was the prom held?
Right in the prom is held right in the school. And my husband, Ole, took me to my junior prom and senior prom. And next year, we'll be married 50 years. So we've raised 9 children, 8 girls and 1 boy, 1 daughter, deceased, Geneva. She was a twin with Genevieve. She had lupus. Mm-hmm. And she passed 10 years ago. But we have 9 children, 18 grands, 3 great grands. I've tracked our family tree back to 7 generations.
Tell me about one particular friend of yours.
I call him my mentor, James Bransford. James Bransford was a type of student. He did not have to study, I thought. But James could go toe-to-toe with Mr. Moore on any subject. In history class, he remembered dates and events right off the top of his head. And he and Mr. Moore could sit there and just discuss the current events or argue, you know, for hours. And I wanted to be like James, to answer questions like James. So to accomplish this, I had to study and memorize at night. I had to do my homework, but it paid off. And every time James raised his hand up, my hand went up too. So he was my mentor in school. I was like gonna do whatever James could do, I could do too. You know, I had to study harder than he did, but I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I was on the honor roll. James and I were on the honor roll in our senior year. And that was quite an accomplishment. So I did keep up with him.
Isn't it good always to have someone in your class that you can pit your wits against?
Yes. And I enjoyed algebra that Mr. Moore mm-hmm. taught, because the algebra, the longer the equation got, it was like a challenge, the more I enjoyed it. I don't remember much about algebra now, but I enjoyed algebra. The way Mr. Moore taught it, it wasn't like teaching out of a manual. He taught so much from memory, and he could just whip through stuff and get you so involved and so interested. You had no choice but to learn.
Mm-hmm. And then tell me about a teacher that you, in particular, that you remember.
Like I said, Mr. Moore, he was great in all the subjects. Mrs. Johnson, my home ec teacher, she was very thorough. She went through, we did the body, the workings of the body, mm-hmm. the skin layers, all the health courses, and all. She did an excellent job, I thought, in home ec.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Kane, she was staring. She was that English teacher.
What was her first name?
Sarah T. Kane.
Sarah Kane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She was that English teacher and our music teacher also. There was one incident in music. All of my classmates knew that I could not sing, but I could mouth away and get by with it. But this one particular day, Mrs. Kane decided to track down who was getting the class off key. So she said, everyone be quiet, and she was testing each one by one to find out. So when she got to me, she says, Geneva, stand aside and be quiet for a while after listening to me sing the scale. So then my secret was out with Mrs. Kane, but all the students knew that I couldn't sing. But then we had the tonette, the small black musical instrument. It's about 6 or 7 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And I did master it. I was pretty good in the tonette. I really enjoyed it. It was quite an accomplishment. The upper class, I know Mrs. Kane instructed some of the upper classmates with the saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them really got good, you know, playing the sax.
Where did they get the instruments?
I imagine parents bought them.
They bought them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There weren't that many, a few played the sax,
mm-hmm.
maybe 2 or 3.
Were you ever employed outside of school? Did you have to work outside of school?
I remember I was never fortunate enough to attend the pen relays. I would hear the students talking about it, going to the pen relays.
Mm-hmm.
I would work,
mm-hmm.
Day's work, helping mother out. At that time, my dad was in the hospital, sick. Okay, we'll get back to the pen relay. I recall the students going to the pen relay on Saturdays whenever the event took place once or twice a year. But it seems as though I had this day's work I was obligated to bring money home, because at that time Daddy was sick in the hospital. And we would do day's work for about $3 or $4 a day, I guess, whatever it was. It was $3 or $4 more than what Mother had at home. Mm-hmm. So Mother never had to ask us for our money. We did the day's work at white folks' home and brought the money home, just gave it to Mother, and that was it. And if you wanted something, you asked Mother for the money or to buy it. Mm-hmm. You didn't get it, you didn't get it. If the money wasn't there, you just did not get what, you know, whatever you needed. You got what you needed, mm-hmm. necessities. But no, I was not able to attend the pen relay, and even to this day, I have not gone up there. I've heard a lot of interesting talk about it, the fanfare and all the camaraderie with the friends and meeting there once a year and all, but I never experienced that, mm-hmm. and I did miss that. Mm-hmm. I regret not having gone, but at that time, the $2 or $3 was more important.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the white folks that you worked for at that time?
One was Mrs. Satterfield. I remember her name off the mm-hmm. top of my head. She was what we call the Cabbage Patch, where the elementary
Is this in Bel Air or in...
No, this is in Edgewood.
In Edgewood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a Lieutenant Dozier on the post I worked mm-hmm. for. They're the two names that pop off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I would go there on Saturdays and clean the house, wash the clothes on the washboard, and iron the clothes, and that type of thing, just did day's work.
What kind of family chores did you have then? I mean, if you worked outside of the home, then I'm quite sure that you had a lot of work to do in the home, right?
Oh, yes, yes, we all had our responsibilities at home. I remember during the summer, I went to the, what we call CD, Cafeteria and Dormitories, down Trimmer Road on Nuttall Avenue. Trimmer Road, Edgewood Road on Nuttall Avenue.
Cafeteria and what?
Dormitories.
Okay.
Where the people stayed who worked on the post,
okay.
They would come to the cafeteria and get their breakfast in the morning. There was a Mr. Cosby Hawkins who made the best pancakes, the most perfect pancakes I've ever seen. He was a cook there at the cafeteria. There was one manager, her name was Helen, who entrusted me with all the money in the cafeteria every day. We worked, I think, from like 6 to 11. And then we would go back at 3 o'clock, and when we closed at 11, she entrusted me with all the money in the cash register to bring home. And I remember I had to be no more than 16 or 17 then. And then I would go back at 3 o'clock with all this money, and it never fazed me, never bothered me about them. And I would bring it home, put it on my bureau, whatever. Then it was time for me to go back to work, I would take the money back. And I did that in the summer, cafeteria work at the cafeteria.
What grade were you in then?
I think I was in the 10th grade. See, we only went to the 11th grade.
We only went to the 11th
grade.
Did the school year follow the farming season? How long did you go to school?
Well, that was the reason that we only went to the 11th grade, because the boys, young boys, were needed at home, and the whites said that was all the education that you needed.
Did the white students go to the 12th
yes,
grade?
Yes, yes.
The black students went to the 11th grade?
Yes.
And they didn't change that until the consolidated school?
Correct.
How close were the school ties to the churches?
Oh, they were extremely close. That's how they existed. Mm-hmm. Because they would use the schools for classrooms, and this cohesiveness that could not be broken. We had our plays there. We had our graduation there.
The churches, you mean?
Yeah, churches. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, they were an integral part of the black community. There was no getting around it. It was just an automatic thing.
And it wasn't only the AME church, it was the Baptist church too?
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Well, there were two churches, New Hope and Ames. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were closer, though, to Ames because of the proximity of the school to the church,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes,
yes. Mm-hmm. What kind of supplies did they have in schools? Did they have globes and maps and all of the type of things?
I imagine we had a few maps and globes, but nothing really extensive. Chemistry, we had test tubes and some Bunsen burners, I remember.
You did have a chemistry lab?
Yeah, it was right in the classroom. Mrs. Kane would store the stuff.
It was
in
a chemistry table then.
Yes, 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 uh-huh. And she had a piano in the room for our music. there were not a lot of there was not a lot of equipment. Like I said, mm-hmm. we got what was left over from the white schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when the school was initially built, money from Mrs. Moore, Mr. Moore's mother, Mrs. Hannah Moore,
mm-hmm.
she initially furnished the home ec room with her own personal money and school desks for the students.
What did you have in that home ec room?
I remember long tables, about two sewing machines.
Two for all the students?
Yeah. Probably one stove, maybe two stoves. I remember one stove. I can't visualize the kitchen too well. I remember the long tables. We would go to the A&P, we called Uptown on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Johns would give us money. We would go there and buy whatever food supply we needed to
the students cook. Had to do this themselves.
The students would go up to Main Street,
uh-huh.
to the A&P, and purchase the food for lunch from the A&P. I guess Ms. Johnson had a certain fund. And we would bring it back.
Now, you were talking about lunch and how you had to go uptown and pack mm-hmm. and buy food for lunch.
Yeah.
Now, was this lunch to be served to all the children, or was this a part of your home economics class?
This was part of our home economics class. So after the cooking and home ec was done, we would go. Someone was picked to go from room to room to read the menu to the other classes. And they would tell us whatever we want, whatever they wanted, maybe. One class would want four spaghetti dinners, maybe one class would want 10 hot dogs, whatever it would be. But we had to go and read the menu to them. I don't remember whether we actually took their orders. It was just informing them of what we were having for lunch.
And but they didn't serve, and this was the only hot meal that then that was served at the school? There was no
yes.
other? Well, those students who didn't buy from the cafeteria brought their lunches?
Yes, yes, they brought their lunch.
And
they
how much was the lunches? Do you remember how much the lunches
I
were?
Don't remember, maybe 10 or 15 cents, maybe probably not even that much then.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Picture the school and as a close community. Could you talk about that relationship between the parents and the school and your teachers?
Well, like I said, my father and mother, Mr. and Mrs. Briggs, they were very much a part of the PTA. Daddy got involved in most everything, the NAACP, which were our two main organizations. As a matter of fact, they would call Mrs. Briggs the Black Mayor of Edgewood.
Give his full name.
Mr. James A. Spriggs, Sr.
Okay, and your mom? And
mom is Madeline Spriggs. And they would call Daddy the Black Mayor of Edgewood. Mother and Daddy were very, with other people, Mr. Banks and other people were very helpful in the desegregation of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
They went to court for quite a while fighting the desegregation in Harford County. We have one picture of Mother leaving the court with, I can't recall his name at the time, one of the court sessions with Mrs. Marlene Banks. They were all very instrumental in getting the desegregation done in the county. When it was finally allowed, well, I'm jumping ahead now to after I'm grown and have my family, but this is in the early 50s was when desegregation was allowed. Daddy had gone to the people in the neighborhood, in the community in Harford County, to get them to sign their children up to go to the white schools. We were only allowed to have so many children in the schools as a gradual thing. Most people were afraid of this because it was a new challenge and they didn't know what would happen to their kids in the school. They had to wait and see. But all of Daddy's grandchildren, us girls, we put our children in the schools, which worked out fairly well. And that was the beginning of, they went to Edgewood Elementary. Mr. Kearney, his name pops in my mind, was the principal over there at that time, as I recall. I'm pretty sure that was his name.
This is in the early 50s. This is after the Desegregation Act of 53?
Yes, yes, uh-huh. So that's how the desegregation in Harford County really
got started.
Didn't
I see a picture of your mother walking up the White House steps or something?
That's, yes, I have those pictures. In fact, I just finished a big presentation with my family in Houston, Texas, on our family history. We went back to 1800,
mm-hmm.
and I told my family members that this is the 231st anniversary of the independence of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And in the year 2000, it'll be the 33rd anniversary of the United States independence.
Mm-hmm.
My foreparents on my father's side would have been married 200 years in the year 2000, which makes my foreparents 23 years younger than the independence of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you have any other than the PTA and the NAACP that the parents were really involved in? Did they work with the schools? Were they work with the teachers? What happened when a teacher, say, had to go to a parent about a student?
That
was very well received, because the teachers were counselors, they were parents, they were mentors, and if you did something in school, you knew you were going to be corrected by a teacher. There was no such thing as a parent come to school and says, you shouldn't have said it to my Johnny and Mary. No, that was not even thought of. Like to say, it takes a whole village to raise one child. That was the concept. You
what
just automatically. The discipline, I think they would get whipped.
Corporal
think so.
Punishment, huh?
Yeah, I think now. I would think they would get a couple of whips, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes,
mm-hmm.
a couple of lashes. I would aim to think they would get a couple. I never got any. But I would believe they would get a couple of lashes on the behinds or something.
There was no such thing as a detention or anything like that, like they do today.
No, not that I recall. There was punishment, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You were probably kept away from recess, that type of thing. But no real strong punishment as I can remember. And in all the recollection of the students we've talked with, I don't hear any of them talking about corporal punishment. If they did, it was appreciated. If
mm-hmm.
they did get corporal punishment, they seem to have appreciated it. But I don't hear any ill talk about what Mr. So-and-so did to me. I could have beat him and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all done in Justin. They appreciated whatever was done to them in correction. The students appreciated.
How many teachers were there? Do you remember how many teachers were in your school?
I do have a list of the teachers who were there. You see, the different grades were added.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Moore, at one time.
Steve Moore.
Yeah, Mr. Steve Moore, at one time, he taught all the classes. But you just went to the ninth grade at that point. Then in 1937, this is before my time, Mrs. Sarah Taylor Kane was employed for the teaching of English and sciences. There were just two sciences taught, biology and chemistry. And Mr. Moore taught all the math class and social studies. Then there was a Mr. Dennis Noble, who taught math and science in the morning at Haverty Grace High. That was the first high school established in the county, Haverty Grace High. And he would come in the afternoons on Mondays and Fridays and teach shop. Then later, Mr. William C. Rice, he was a graduate of Princess Anne College, and he later taught shop classes. And that was held at the old farmhouse up on Bond Street in Bel Air.
So Haverty Grace and Bel Air shared teachers?
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of that until later, because mm-hmm. like I said, that's happened in 1937, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the New Hope Baptist Church on Alice Ann Street. There were two classrooms there, and one classroom at Ames United Methodist.
Mm-hmm. And then one at the firehouse.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the elementary teachers was Miss Fanny Jackson, Mrs. Mildred Noble, Mrs. Maddie Gawthley Summons, and joining the high school staff, we had Miss Gladys Williams, who is a sister of Dr. Percy Williams. She taught eighth grade core. Miss Cornelius Ruff, she taught seventh grade core. Mrs. Mary Reed Tittle, she taught ninth grade core. And then it was at the end of the 1946 school year, Mrs. Kane left and went to Indian Head, Maryland. That was her home. And a vacancy was filled by Mary Bond Berry, who previously had attended Valley Colored High, completed her college course at Morgan, came back and taught her students, and is still in the school system as we speak today. She was assigned English and social studies and biology. Which
so she taught in the old school?
Yes, she went to the old school, she taught in the old school. Her, some of her students that she taught have gone and taught 30 years themselves in school and have retired. And she is still teaching, yes. Mrs. Emma Johnson was a home ec teacher, and Ms. Marlene Banks was a home ec teacher. The teachers at Valley High, they were dedicated and worked hard as teachers' counselors to ensure the students received the best education possible.
Now, we talked about how you got back and forth to school on the work bus. But what happened when it was bad snows and bad weather? How did you get to school? Did you?
We had to walk down Trimmer Road.
You went to school anyway?
And went to school anyway, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I can't remember snow days, school closing.
School didn't close for snow days?
I cannot recall that, no. Uh-huh. Now, perhaps it did, but I cannot recall that. We went to school, period, every day.
I know I went to Towson, and my aunt had a restaurant, and the kids would leave the school and go to the restaurant at lunchtime. I know Mrs. Moore had a restaurant.
Yes.
You ever have to go up there to lunch for
yes,
lunches?
Yes,
or
there was a luncheonette and Mrs. Moore's place.
Yeah.
Yes, we would frequent those places. Get this good high dose for lunches and all, and the sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
I can't recall the lady who operated what we call the luncheonette.
Luncheonette, right.
But it was a neat little hangout for the students. Yes,
uh-huh.
we had our little place there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The dances after the hops. That was an integral part of our activity on Friday nights. We had, I don't know how often we had the hops.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were called record hops. And we would do our dances of the era then and have great fun, and that was one of the things we looked forward to. I remember one incident. My sister Marie and I had worked that summer, and we were able to accumulate this mass wardrobe, 5 outfits apiece. She going to WSI in Baltimore, and I was going to Valley Colored High. So we had it all figured out. We could change our outfits. That was 10 outfits between us. And we could wear something different every day. But then she got to the point she wanted to stop this little procedure. So I said, fine, no problem. Of course it was no problem, because she left early. And I left late, and I got home before she did. So I was still continuing to wear her clothes. So this one outfit she had was a beautiful gray peppered skirt, floral skirt, and gray sweater and some gray beads. I can still see the outfit now. Well, I wore it to school this one day. We had a hop that night, and she was insisting on wearing this outfit. And I did everything I could to tell her the reason she could not wear it was dirty, was this, was that, she didn't look right in it. And she still insisted on wearing this outfit. And with me just wearing it that day, and I mean, you're talking about maybe 50 kids, and they all knew what each other had on. So I finally had to tell her that I wore it to school that day, which that did not go over very well, needless to say. So that then that mother, I told you not to let Geneva wear my clothes no more. And that went on and on. So that was the end of our sharing of our wardrobe for a while.
Were you assigned a lot of homework?
Yes, we were, because our English class, we had to do a lot of memorizing. Then when Miss Bond came, our portrait and pose, we would have Mrs. Bond would mark an X on the floor, and X would mark the spot, and we would have to stand there and recite our poetry that we had memorized, and you had better memorize, because if you did not, you were really taken down and embarrassed. So that was quite a challenge. You had to memorize those poems. Whenever Mrs. Kane, when she left, whenever Mrs. Bond gave it to you for homework, we would have, I imagine, a certain amount of time, maybe a week or two, to do the memorizing. But we'd have to stand before the class and one by one recite that poetry. And we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did it.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite subject?
Math. And I liked, because math was a challenge, and after I understood algebra, it was like a breeze after I understood it. And I really enjoyed algebra, the challenge of math. English, I liked the English. It was, English still is a complicated subject. I took English once after I was grown, and I told the instructor, as a college instructor, I said, you know, you have destroyed everything I ever knew about English. This is, English is really a tough subject to master. But I enjoyed English, and I understood it while I was taking it in school, the diagrams and your nouns and your subjects, your adverbs and so forth and on. Yeah, I enjoyed English, yes. I think I enjoyed school.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed my subjects. I had some very dear friends in school. Our class was very small. Like I said, there were 12, but as I look on the picture, I see there are 13 of us. William, he is still with us. He attends our reunion. William Smith, Charles Waters. My daughter married his nephew. Calvin Green, he's an organist. He's done very well at Fairview Church. He has a garage business. Paul Lester is deceased. Barnard Wilson is deceased. James Brandt, my mentor. He's living in Minneapolis, and he has two daughters that are lawyers. He's done, you know, quite well. His children have done quite well. Going to the girls, Ida Mae Waters. I'm not sure about her. Benny Wise. I'm not sure about Benny Wise. Marilyn Norman, who just lost two sisters recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to attend her retirement party from Perry Point next Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and that's quite an achievement. And I would not miss that for anything, because she's a dear friend and a classmate. Mary, what was her last name? Off the top of my head. She's in Baltimore. She attended our first reunion we had, because this is myself, Geneva. Elizabeth Green, she has retired from APG. And Bertha Heard, she has retired from Havana Grace Hospital. She worked there, she was employed there in a custodial capacity. So these are my students, my fellow classmates.
When I was just about to ask you, did you keep in touch with any of your classmates? And I see that you have.
Yes, Marilyn and I, Ida Mae came to our reunion. Mary came to the reunion. Elizabeth came. So we had, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 12. That wasn't bad.
That's not a bad
average
at all.
No, that's
what about
bad.
your teachers?
Oh, yes, we had teachers. In fact, one of the teachers who taught
Do you still keep in touch with them?
Yes, I have some beautiful, I have a couple of beautiful letters from Mrs. Kane, who taught us, the lady that Mary Berry replaced. Mm-hmm. When they had the affair for Mary Berry, Mrs. Kane came to her affair, her function. Mm. And that was quite an honor to Mrs. Kane taught Mary. Now remember, Mrs. Kane taught Mary. Mary completed 4 years of college and came back and took Mrs. Kane's position.
Okay, I have Mrs. Kane here to interview. How old is she, and is she still in the area?
She's in Indian Head.
Indian Head.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
okay.
She's in Indian Head.
My daughter lives there.
Yeah. The other young lady name I couldn't not remember was Mary Gilbert.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's in Baltimore. As a matter of fact, this is my school, my graduation program.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you something?
I have my original newspaper from the school, which was given to me by, I'll think of her name in a minute. Her name slips my mind. Mm-hmm. But she gave me my, she gave me the original school paper.
Mm-hmm. Now I have, I think, one last question, or maybe two. When you were in high school, what did you want more than anything else to do when you finished school?
To be a secretary, I think.
Did you do it?
Yeah. I didn't do it right away. I did not get a secretary position until 1972.
Oh my, okay.
I had taken the tests at Edgewood for clerical tests throughout the years. Mm-hmm. I would pass one part and fail the written part. It was a 10-minute test. The first 5 minutes, I would do fine. The next 5 minutes, my hands would be all butter. One day, I was homesick and I had a broken ankle. And I was in Bel Air at the unemployment office. And I decided to go past unemployment officer, just take this test, just a walk-in test. I took it and passed the flying colors. Before, when I would take my test, I would set up at appointments and practice all weekend and get myself all worked up with nerve pills and whatever, you know, and be all butterflies after the first 5 minutes. When I did the walk-in test, I passed with flying colors. I was working in a restaurant, Italian restaurant. I worked there for 18 years in between having my children. That's when I worked there for 18 years. And like I said, in 1972, I finally passed the test, and it took them a year to call me. When I finally got the letter that I was being considered for this position, I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe it. So not a joke, but it took so long for it to happen. I was really, you know, in shock. So anyway, I was hired in 1972 as a secretary on the post, and I stayed there until my retirement in 82 when I developed a very bad back. Mm-hmm. So I've been retired since 82. Mm-hmm. So I did reach my goal as a secretary, yes.
Good,
yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. And one last question. What is your very best memory of attending Bel Air Colored School?
Oh, gee, there's so many good memories other than the time I kicked the school. But they're just so many fond memories of the teachers, the closeness, how they took you under your wing when you had a problem, how they made you learn. There was no excuse, I cannot learn this, I cannot learn that. The close friends, the camaraderie, and it was just all good feelings, the hops, the closeness in the homemaking room with Mrs. Johnson. I was very fond of her, and I thought she did an excellent job teaching homemaking and health. She didn't have any children of her own, but she was very up on children problems, home problems, health problems, whatever the correct word for was for at that time. But she taught us well. All the teachers taught us well, yes. They made us walk a straight line. And like I said, so many of the students from Bel Air Colored High have done so well. It's unbelievable how they have achieved coming from their meager beginnings, so to speak. Yes. Yeah, it took a lot of pride and struggle. That was one of the things I talked about in my presentation I did at my grandson's school. I spoke with him about, he was here one day, and I was telling him things that my mother and father had done, which I try to do each chance that I get with the children. And he was so interested in it. He says, "Grandma, will you come to school and talk to my class?" So I said, "Sure." "About what?" He says, "About Grandma and what she did. You know, get in the," he didn't know what the word was, "get in the black children into the white schools and all that." So I did. And his class were very receptive, and I talked about the projects where we lived, which he had a black, no, he had a white teacher. There was one black teacher there who could not visualize where the projects were in Edgewood, the Heights. Mm-hmm. I can see why she could not, because they no longer exist. Mm-hmm. And I had to explain to her where the 7-Eleven was, where the road was, where the projects existed and all that.
Was that Battle Street?
Yes, that was mm-hmm. Battle Street. And they just sit in awe of the things that I told them about. And I did quite a big display on pictures and family struggle and pride. Mm-hmm. That was one thing I emphasized on. Then the teacher was so impressed, she asked me to do another presentation for the entire fourth grade. So this occasion, the entire cafeteria was filled with students and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So it went over quite well. They were quite impressed with the mm-hmm. presentation. Mm-hmm. The one picture that the kids really got carried away with, I have a picture of myself and Ali, Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Yes. And when they saw that, well, I really got their attention. They told my grandsons, "Derek, your grandmama's pretty cool, you know, that picture of Muhammad Ali." And the kids, they were so confused about the information I was giving them. I had pictures of slave homes and my grandfather, and they wanted to know if my mother was a slave. They could not comprehend that length of time, the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all quite awesome to them, hearing all this from a person who had participated in the integration of schools. Mm-hmm. And I told them that I kept referring to Derek because it was his class and they could relate to him. Had it not been for his great-grandparents, he would not be in the school where he is today.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other people who worked with my parents who mm-hmm. fought for desegregation. If it were not for these forebears and living where they are today, I said Derek's aunts walked and protest signs for integrated homes in Harford County. And he would not be living in an integrated neighborhood where he is not, where he's living today, had it not been for his aunts helping with hundreds of other people to put on this demonstration for equal housing. And that was part of all the struggle that Derek's ancestors participated in.
Mm-hmm.
So they could really relate to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, anything that you'd like to, the floor is yours. Mm-hmm. We still have some more tape.
This is the history of Bel Air College High. The history of this building dates back to the time when it was an elementary school for grades 1 through 7. With Mr. Stanley Saunders as teacher. The only way that colored children could get a high school education at that time was to go to Baltimore City or to Cambridge. Most colleges, like Princess Anne on the Eastern Shore, Morgan State College, Virginia State, and Hampton, had high school programs where parents had to pay for their children to attend. And Mr. Saunders, knowing the family and the parents of the students, knew they could not afford to do this. So he initiated some eighth grade courses into the Bel Air Elementary curriculum. This practice continued for several years, but he was told by the Board of Education at this point that it was necessary for boys and girls to be educated beyond the 7th and 8th grade. They suddenly changed their mind. By January 3rd of 1935, two rooms had been added, onto the Bel Air Elementary School and opened for 22 eighth grade students with Mr. Stephen P. Moore, who was a graduate of Lincoln University of Pennsylvania, employed as a teacher. He taught all subjects because he was the only teacher there. And by the fall of 1936, a ninth grade was added. So Stephen P. Moore then taught eighth and ninth grades. Things were going well, but two grades were not enough. Mrs. Hannah Moore, his mother, recognized this. So she went to the Board of Education, asked for more rooms, and was told they could not find land in all of Bel Air. But there was a grant in the county from the Rosenwald Education Foundation. Now this Rosenwald Foundation, I'd like to tell you something about it. The Rosenwald Foundation was a Nashville-based philanthropic organization founded by Julius Rosenwald. He lived from 1862 to 1932. Mr. Rosenwald became interested in rural black education after a visit to Tuskegee Institute in 1911. He was, at that time, president of Sears Roebuck Incorporated. The foundation always required matching funds from the community. Now, this is what Mrs. Moore did. And the school system. It stressed cooperation with the county school boards and emphasized black and white community cooperation. Contributions were made to every level of black education, and grants were made to students for advanced study. In 1928, Rosenwald endowed the foundation with 200,000 shares of Sears Roebuck stock. It was at that time chairman of the board. He was at that time chairman of the board. In order to prevent the foundation from hoarding the money, he ordered that it all had to be spent within 25 years of his death. When he died in 19...
Start that sentence over again.
He was at that time chairman of the board. In order to prevent the foundation from hoarding the money, he ordered that it all had to be spent within 25 years of his death. When he died in 1932, 5,357 school buildings had been built. Between 1924 and 1935, the present building supplemented the old building on January 3rd, 1935. So that's a history of the Rosenwald Foundation that Mrs. Moore matched to buy the school building. They further stated, the Board of Education further stated, that they had no available funds. Mrs. Moore got very busy. She was an energetic woman, and she knew what was what around Bel Air. They could not get much by her. She knew where to get land, so she purchased the land that adjoined the existing school property for the sum of $1,000 out of her money. In addition, she matched the money from the Rosenwald Fund, dollar for dollar, not a penny from the school board. They did not contribute one dime toward the project. The only money put forth by the board was for textbooks, teacher salaries. Quite frequently, the books they received were used ones and had to be cleaned with the racial slurs from the other schools. Mrs. Moore also equipped the school with modern home economics room, and she provided the students with desks and whatever was needed in the school she would purchase herself. She continued to make additional contributions to the school to ensure that the students would receive the best education facilities that money could provide at that time. When the 10th grade was added in 1937, Mr. Moore had all he could handle as far as teaching. Mrs. Sarah Taylor Kane was employed for the teaching of English and the sciences. Just the two science classes were taught, biology and chemistry. Mr. Moore then taught all the math and social studies classes. I'm probably repeating some of this information, but I want to make sure that it's fair and it's understood who did what. And Mr. Dennis Noble, he taught math and science in the morning at Havertah Grace High School, like I said, which was the first high school in the county. In the afternoons, he would come to Bel Air and teach on Mondays and Fridays. The shop training that Mr. Rice also took up. Later, all one-room elementary schools were closed in the county. So this meant a greater elementary school population. Other buildings in the area were used to accommodate all these different students, which meant all the elementary students were either attending Bel Air or Havertah Grace Elementary School. And like I said before, there was New Hope Church on Alisand Street, two classrooms, one classroom at Ames United Methodist Church. Some of the elementary teachers, Mrs. Fanny Jackson, as I mentioned before, Mrs. Noble, Mrs. Maddie Goff, Ms. Summons, and then joining the high school staff, we had Ms. Gladys Williams, who taught the eighth grade core, and Ms. Cornelius Ruff, who taught the seventh grade core, Mrs. Mary Reed Tittle, ninth grade. So that's about it, how the school progressed.
When you really stop to think that all of the black students, with the size of Harford County, all of the black students either went to either Havertah Grace or Bel Air, that is an awful lot of territory to cover.
Yes, it was.
It's a wonder that our black students are educated.
Yes, 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 but they are quite accomplished people, yes. Here's another interesting point. Only three of the 21 youth who started in 1935 finished high school there in 1938. They were Bernice Williams, now deceased, Wasika Jones, who attended our first reunion in 91, and Leopold Smith. I just heard from him again recently this year. He lives in Pennsylvania. However, those that did not finish should not be regarded as idle students, unwilling to work and study. The wages were low then, and there was no bus transportation. Hence, some was forced to drop out, not of their own will. Many of them walked 5 or 6 miles to school each day. Just think of the zeal and determination that they had to seek an education. Getting an education was difficult for most students. Building conditions were deplorable, yet school was enjoyed. The teachers were committed, dedicated, and caring persons. Through all of the adversities, the students also had fun. They had a track coach, Mr. Moore, he did that also. Some of the outstanding athletes were Ruby Bond, Marguerite Stewart, Clarice Jackson, Warnell Lester, and John Pike Waters, just to name a very few. We had a field day like May Day once a year in the spring. And the activities were just plain old dodgeball, volleyball, relays, and field events. Very simple activities.
Did you ever go to Morgan? Was that a part of the field day? Remember we used to go to Morgan once a year when all of the schools competed?
I think I went there once. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I think I recall going there once. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, during senior class day, the seniors would read the class will, and the valedictorian would speak. That's how we survived at Bel Air Colored High School, as far as I can remember.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.